Don't know if Lance will show up last second or not. I think that's probably the only other person that might be with us today. And Haley's?
Tennessee.
So what's the name of the sports teams from Tennessee? I was thinking Volunteers, but yeah, you got me on that one, bud. Yeah. But let's see. That they're in the SEC though, so it's professional. All right, guys, let's get started. Let's open with a prayer. Would anybody in our studies on prayer, does anybody feel comfortable opening today? Porter, you would like to open us in prayer? Yeah. Please do so. Amen. Thank you. That was a nice prayer. And you mentioned the daily, the day part of it, each day. Yes, each and every day. It's a good habit. Maintain it, and it will sustain and help you learn. That's for sure. So last week. Last week, trials. How did that one sit? Did anybody have things to work through on that one this week? There's a lot going on there. Temptations, trials, tribulations. Leading you through the desert. Nobody, everybody's cool with that. Just, it sunk right in. You got it unlocked. This is excellent. I'm very glad to hear it. So let's review. Six facets of the prayer. We're to the last one, right? So let's say them together. Character, kingdom, provision, forgiveness, guidance, and protection. We've made it all the way around. We got to protection. This is an interesting one in that it's an add-on, an addition to. It's a continuation of last week. Part of guidance. It's the next level, really. Let's talk about the question itself for this week. What does the Lord's Prayer teach us about God's protection? Anybody? It'd be good to just... Yes. Deliver us from evil. That is the protection action. Yes. That's a good start because, as I said, it's a continuation. So we need his guidance. We need his help, his input with troubles, trials, tribulations, those things that are put in our path to test us, those things that are put in our path to hurt us. In a specific case where those are being placed, not by God, but by anyone or anything else, then we are asking for God's protection. This is an active attack on our walk. We're going to continue forward with that metaphor from last week. I hope that Paul taught in that way because that's what we talked about before and I didn't listen to his lesson. So, but I hope that there was some talk about hiking a trail, going, you got ups and downs, there's rocks in the path, maybe down trees, occasionally there's a snake. There's things that happen on this trip, and we're continually asking God either to remove a rock or a tree, or to give us a way over, under, or around, just to help us through. Now, if a snake or a bear or somebody decides to be a robber on the side of the road, when those things happen, we ask for protection. This is the next level. If something is actively there to hurt us. And I think that we should qualify that as evil. Protect us from evil. Now, I would like to get a little more descriptive. I think the metaphor kind of takes us on a good path, but it falls short in one respect. We need to go back all the way to the beginning of the prayer. We've got character and kingdom. God's character is good, correct? I hope we're on the same page here. Okay. Now, the next thing we taught on was kingdom. Does anybody remember when we taught on what the Lord's Prayer teaches us about kingdom? They got the answer from week two. I know this is, I'm plucking at straws here, but does anybody want to offer it up? Jesus is our king, right? And we are to follow his will. So when we go back to kingdom, we talked about what a kingdom is, right? You need a king, you need laws, you need borders, kingdom space, you got the king's people, okay? And we have to become part of that kingdom through the salvation we learned about way back in week six of this whole class. So if we are citizens of that kingdom and we're praying to God about being part of that kingdom, we have stepped out of treason. We are citizens of God's kingdom. Those things that are outside God's kingdom, the enemy of God's kingdom, that is evil, if we want to define it. It's those things which are against that kingdom. Oh, are you with me? We got questions. Anybody want to think of examples that may be a really good example of that, or something that might challenge that? We're fine either way. Can anybody give me an example of evil, something that's against God's kingdom? What do you got? Yes, I would think that that's a real good example. In fact, I would say you could go down through nine lines of the Ten Commandments and have real good examples of something that's against God's kingdom. That's why after we get done with the Apostles' Creed, we're going to visit those to help us. What do you got? Okay. Yes. Yeah. Something that would be false teaching, leading people to follow a false religion or hope, that's evil. Just you're pointing people away from God. Look over here. This will probably help you. You're hanging your coat up where there's no hook. So you got something, Reggie? You look like you're deep in thought over there, dude. Yes. Sin separates us from God. Those who would promote sin, that would be because we sin, right? Then we ask repentance, and we are citizens. We're connecting, and we're praying a prayer of confession that we just learned to stay in connection there. We're, even when we sin, though it hurts God and ourselves, we are not, I pray, we are not actively attacking the kingdom of God and trying to hurt our fellow citizens or our Lord. If a power is doing that, we qualify it as evil. And we do need to ask that protection. I would say we can go on with today's teaching about the lion. If you was in church today, we talked about some visualizations, God's nature. There are multiple sides to God's nature. We had pictures of a rhino and a bunny rabbit up there. God created those things. So he's completely familiar with that nature. Normally, when we describe God, we've had in the past here, we've had a couple of images that we've used. The lion and the lamb. And a lot of times people gravitate towards one image or the other. That difference in nature and our own heart, our own, just the way we work as an individual, many of us, oh, I like that lion picture. I like that strong, powerful image. That's cool. A lot of us say, I really like the lamb image. It's spotless. It's clean. It's loving. It's safe. And it sacrifices for others. In this case, we're glad that there is a lion. The lamb died for us. The lion kills for us, protects for us, fights for us. Let's take a look at James, because we're going to talk about who we're fighting specifically. James chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. If you have your Bible, take a look at it. If not, I'm going to go ahead and read it. I don't believe it's on the, but yeah, put it in your notes for sure. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. There's that metaphor again. Seeking someone to devour, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So there is some things here that we don't want to, some unpleasant things and some very, I would say, comforting things. First, a warning, be sober-minded. If you're thinking clearly, you're going to just have better outcomes always. Be watchful. Be aware. I think there's a reason here that they're saying to stay awake. Be watchful. Evil comes from all angles at any time. You never know. So you should be prepared and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil. So who is the adversary of the kingdom that we live in? Satan, correct. So if there's a general in these armies, we know who the general of the other army is. Yes. Well, I would say he's roaring like a lion. One, because he's boastful, he makes a lot of noise and he's roaring to scare us. Two, it does compare him to a lion the same way it does God. That does not put him on equal footing. It just means that he is powerful and he can cause harm. If you are going to have a fight with a lion, I would suggest you take another lion with you. Maybe a bigger, better lion, if you could. And I really don't want to draw any lines to any Disney movies, because that wouldn't really be a very good example. But it just kind of hangs there. So once we've talked about him being active, because he's prowling, he's out looking. So evil is active. It's not something sitting there. It's not fishing, it's hunting. So that's a sobering thought. That's something that I don't like to sit around thinking about, that evil would prefer that I leave the path, that I stop praying the prayer of confession, that I stop being a citizen of God's kingdom and that I choose the wrong path. It says, resist him. So we have instruction, not just to pray here, but also on your own part, resist. Take active measures. Firm in your faith. Yeah, or if you're firm in your faith, in your belief in God, this is going to help you greatly. Knowing that the same kinds of suffering being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So this goes to the fact that we as humans, while we are individuals, this is a universal experience. This is not just me or just Carmen that the devil's going to attack. Every one of us is going to have good days, bad days. Every one of us is going to fall short, going to have to confess and come back. The main thing is that we resist him and stay firm in our faith. So if you get knocked down, if you lose a battle, do you fly the white flag, give up the whole war? No. This is a big war. If you lose a battle, you better regroup, resupply, and get back in there. So now, going with the military theme, I would like to take you into how God says that we should be prepared to resist. Being sober-minded and watchful, we should then be prepared. And I think that you guys taking this class and really putting in work to memorize verses, to understand what you believe, to have prayers and understanding and verses ready in your head and your heart, that does a lot. It really does. When you're looking for lost keys, if you can just find it in your heart to go back and think that not only are you forgiven, that you are a citizen of God, but also whoever misplaced those keys was made in the image of God, and that we love our brothers, that everybody falls short. I mean, those things literally do help you fight evil. I use them on a daily basis. I know my wife prays all the time to keep from killing me. It's just a fact. And I'm glad that she does. Oh, yeah. First of all, I find I handle those situations way better if I've prayed that day. Like, if I have not been reading and I've not been praying, and somebody says something hateful to me, steals something from me, damages or hurts something or somebody that I believe is part of my family, I go straight to very ugly. And that's true. Just, I do. That's my nature. And I want to physically attack them. If I've been praying and in the Word, then often I can recognize that that is a flawed human, other person, also in the image of God over there. If there's something I have to physically do to stop them from continuing to harm, and right now, if they're physically harming somebody, okay, then I'll stop them. Otherwise, I need to talk to them. Like, why are you doing that? Why do you think it's okay to do that? What's your motive here? Asking them why, just kind of, but yeah, are there times when physical things happen? Yeah. Sometimes necessary.
This is my question. What's the balance? Where do you draw the line at? You know, obviously you don't just go hurt people for no reason, but
right.
If you need to or a situation arises, I mean, something kind of happened recently to where I felt there was probably going to need some stronger attention, but I wasn't there to
that's not an easy question. I mean, from whether somebody has a concealed carry permit or they're a police officer, or you're just standing in the house and you happen to be strong enough to take care of business, or you have a stick in your hand, whatever it is, that's a game time decision that has to be, you have to be mentally and heart prepared for before it happens. Because if you haven't thought it through and got your heart in the right place at all times, then it's real easy to go off the rails. So easy. Yes, definitely have been in physical altercations that should have never been physical. Because I can truly say I've been in a physical altercation that should never have been physical, I err now on the side of not being physical, just because I've had very few regrets from not laying my hands on somebody, but I've had several regrets from touching somebody. That said, if they are actively physically harming somebody, then I'm going to do what I need to do to stop them from doing that. All right. That was good. Moving on to the armor, because that is one way you'd be prepared for that situation, is to be, if that is an example of evil happening in front of you, this is how you're prepared for it. Yes, you certainly may. Because God does resource his army. There is logistics involved here. We are supplied. We would look to Ephesians 6, verse 10 through a whole bunch. Let me think, 19? This is a lot of lines. Just put down Ephesians 6, start at 10, and I would suggest give this one a read anytime this week. It's a pretty famous, notorious, oft-quoted. Everybody got this one. Ephesians 6:10. What can I help you with? Okay. So we've established that there is evil. We've established it has a name, but it has a lot of different faces. It comes at you from different angles with different aspects. How to be prepared. Here, this one's working. I got a couple of them over here. Ephesians 6:10, often referred to as the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert, with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. I would revert back to be strong, put on the whole armor. If I'm getting dressed in full armor, I'm not going to do a full sermon on the armor of God here, but if I'm getting dressed, to go into battle, what does that look like? I mean, I know I'm wearing camo shorts here, but that's if somebody's getting dressed to go into battle, we often, like, when we think of these images in the Bible, we get some antiquated, you know, we think of that time. We got our sword, we got our shield, we got a helmet. It's really not as different as we think right now. You still put on a helmet, you put on body plates, you put on plates. What's a plate carrier? That's armor. That's just what it is. It stops something from going inside you that shouldn't be there. And you got a sword, it just reaches out a lot farther. So you got to have boots if you're going to war. That's a fact. If you're going to fight, you got to be able to move. And I would just go back through this to say, if these things translate directly to what you are learning. So if you double down on putting the Word of God into your head and your heart, you'll be prepared. We are not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places, princes, principalities. What does that all, that, I mean, that sounds, what is that? I'm saying when I see that guy putting his hands on somebody, I still see a fellow human being there who could, because I truly believe, repent and join the kingdom of God. And I pray that he does. Or she does. I pray that they do that. But that thing they're doing is evil, and the kingdom that they are currently fighting for is evil. I do not want that action to happen. I'm going to do what I can to stop that action, but I'm still going to have mercy on that person. I have no mercy for that evil or for those who are supplying that army. Those who are supplying that army, I'm prepared to fight. And when we get to the actual armor and the armaments, we have the belt of truth. What we just learned about the truth, the gospel, the good news. Okay? You got to have that. And if you want to know what's true and what's not true, you get in the Bible and you read and you find out. When Jesus, I hope that we talked about Jesus being tempted last week. He was tempted by the devil directly. Who, what did the devil use against him? Go ahead. Yes, he spoke scriptures to him. So I guess you better know the scriptures better than the devil. Right? Is he will try to trick you. Evil will always try to twist it. Breastplate of righteousness. Be righteous. Know what's good and try to do it. The shoes that are on your feet, what helps you move? The readiness given by the gospel of peace. Having peace in your heart, knowing Jesus. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Okay? Shield of faith. We have faith. We have faith in our Creator. We have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. We hold on to that. Don't let go of it. That is the shield. That's what fights back the attack. Helmet of salvation. You know you're saved. That protects your mind from getting scared. Whatever the outcome is, you know where you're going. That's a pretty good thing to have going into a serious battle. And the sword of the Spirit. So we get to the part where we attack. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We just got right back to where we started, the Word of God. More Word of God you got in your heart and in your head, the better prepared you are. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Praying helps you get prepared, apparently, with all prayer and supplication. And then Paul asks that we pray for him. We pray for the other saints. Basically, you're praying for everybody out there who's going through the same thing. That's why the Lord's Prayer is in plural. Us. Us-ins. We's. All of us. When I pray, protect us from evil, I'm also praying for Ryan and Reggie and all the other people whose names start with R. But the rest of you, maybe not. But that's, sometimes when you pray the Lord's Prayer in your prayer time, think about that. I mean, we all know people who are a victim of evil. Probably right now you can think of one. A terrible family situation. Somebody has taken advantage of them, hurt them, damaged them, wrongly accused them, whatever that might be. We can all come up with one. Think about them when you say, deliver us from evil. All right. I would like to revisit our answers from this section because here we are at the end of our teaching on the Lord's Prayer. I will not see you next Sunday night. We won't be here. Then we will reconvene and begin, I believe, a section on Creed, the Apostles' Creed, which is I'm looking forward to because I grew up as a Presbyterian, and it was all about Trinity all the time, and that's where we're going to talk about the Trinity in our teaching. We've gone a long way around to kind of avoid talking about the Trinity until then, because it's expressly part of that teaching. There's no way around it. When you say the Apostles' Creed, you can't get around Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I would also like to say that at the end of our prayer, we've got the doxology. Depending on how you're reading the Lord's Prayer in the Bible, you may or may not see the bookend at the end. Right? Yours is the, yes, forever. That's at the end. That's our bookend. It goes right back. I don't know about you, but I forget what I was saying 3 seconds ago. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we get down to the end and we go, who are we talking to again? Oh, yeah. The creator of the universe. That is all good, all powerful, and deserves all the glory. That's who we're talking to. We remember that it's his kingdom. It's his kingdom that he's fighting for, that we're fighting for, and that we're citizens of. We remember his power, his provision that he gives us. We ask for our daily bread. That's coming from his provision. Guidance and protection. We just talked about that the last 2 weeks. That's coming under his power and glory. I would say the creator of the universe put all this together, knit us together in the womb, sent his son to die for us, provides for us each day, guides us each day, and protects us each day, deserves some glory. At least a high five, right? Chest bump? Maybe? We can't do that, though. We talked about that this morning. Not even Moses could do that. He got burned up. Gets nasty sunburn. Okay. Let's pray. We're way early on time here. So we're going to revisit the answers from each week in the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to pray it out with the Lord's Prayer. Does that sound good to all y'all? Anybody? What you got? All right. So, what does the Lord's Prayer teach us about God's character? You got it in your notes? This is an open note. That was my favorite form of test in school. I still usually got a C, though.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Because you didn't write it down?
Yeah. Anybody on Lord's Prayer teaches us about God's character. As Father, God is the life-giving creator of all things. That's one to keep. That's, again, that's a cool-down one. That's a lift you up. God created me. Unfortunately, when I want to punch you in the face, God created you too. And I have to keep that in mind. All right. Next was the kingdom, right? What does God teach us about kingdom? In the Lord's Prayer, we learn Jesus is our king, and we are to follow his, Reggie's saying it, go ahead. We are to follow his will. Yes. Yes. I would say that would be sufficient and correct. All right. How about provision? Our Father is our daily provider. Yes. Is there something that you need today that God did not give you today? Still here, right? Okay. Check that box. Thank you, God. What does the Lord's Prayer teach us about forgiveness? Yes. How often?
Every day.
Every day. Yeah. We gotta breathe every day, or we got problems. We gotta drink every couple days, or we'll die. We gotta eat every month or two, or we'll die. But we should be praying every day. Okay. Lord's Prayer teaches about guidance. We did that last week. Does anybody remember that? The Lord guides us through our trials. You need to calm down. Just calm down over here. That's right. He guides us. What's our part of that? To follow him. First, we ask for the guidance. He's there ready to guide you, but you have to ask. And then if you ask for it, even when you don't like the new path he's taken, you still got to follow him. That's probably where most of us mess up on this. I struggle sometimes with the faith to follow the path that he wants to lead me down. All right. And that then we had today. What does the Lord's Prayer teach us about protection? Hopefully you have written down, our Father in heaven protects us from evil, powers that oppose his kingdom. That one, sometimes when I pray for protection, when I say, deliver us from evil, a little bit of something slips in my head where I'm just praying for everything to work out really good for me. That might not be what powers that oppose his kingdom. Those might not be the same thing. Me having a good day and God's kingdom being protected may not happen at the same time. But, oh, just because you have a bad day doesn't mean you're not protected. All right. Who would like to lead us in the Lord's Prayer? You would?
Yeah.
You started. You might as well finish. Let's do it, buddy.
Wait. So it's in the Lord's Prayer?
Yes.
Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Excellent. Does anybody need any encouragement, guidance, etc., on maintaining this prayer walk? How you doing? Are we daily? Are we twice daily? Are we every other day when we remember? Or are we just like, you know, when things get hard? Where are you at? Daily? Try for twice. When's your once? Is it usually the same time of day? Because you get up and you're like, what am I supposed to be doing? Uh-huh. And you wake up. Well, do you eat breakfast? No. You might want to start with brushing the teeth. That gets expensive. If you let that one go. I was going to say, yeah. Say it while you're brushing your teeth, washing your face, whatever it is you do, whatever is a automatic, I don't care if the house is on fire, I do this before I leave. Whatever that thing is, incorporate it. Well, I will be honest. I really brush my teeth no matter what, because I probably wouldn't do that. Anybody else? How you doing, Reggie? Okay. Yeah. Doing good? A couple times a day? Awesome. Keep it up. There might be a little lag as this portion ends and we got a week off and stuff. You know, might not see people, might not have those reminders. Stick with it. Whatever your routine is, stick with it. When you travel, it's kind of hard. You got to keep it up in the car. Changes in your routine. Summertime, kids, parents, routines get all messed up. And then you go back to school and get back to kind of a somewhere close to. How's your summer routine? I think your summer routine's been pretty good from what I understand. Little Birdie told me you've been to the lake a lot, you've been hanging out, having a pretty good time. Yeah. Do you ever pray at the lake?
Yeah, usually before we eat
and
when we go to bed.
Nice. I like to pray like sunset or sunup over lake, like sitting on a beach or a dock or something. That's pretty sweet. God hears me better if I'm in a kayak when I pray. I don't know why that is. Something about living waters, I guess. It does feel like that sometimes. That's very true. I think it's a little bit more. I think it's just the quiet that can afford you. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Darn it. All right, guys. Well, I really appreciate you sharing those things and being honest. And I'll be praying for you this week that. Not just for you, I'll be praying specifically for your protection, and also be preparing for you, praying that you be successful in your prayer time, in your studies. Talk to God and read His Word. It's going to help you. Got anything to add? Okay. I have one thing to add. Not long ago, I was having trouble with my prayer time, and I couldn't, like, God wasn't answering me. Sometimes people say, oh, you don't hear. Well, yes, actually you do. You can definitely receive an answer. What I find, though, often is that if I'm praying for something and I don't receive an answer, part of God's character that we discussed earlier is Father. Parents, I think, can understand if you have told your child how to do something, when to do something, where to do something, three times. And then they come back, you say, okay, you know what you're doing, right? You go, yeah. They come back 10 minutes ago, hey, was I supposed to, you don't even want to talk to them. You're like, I told you. Well, if I open my Bible and do some studying, I've already been told 10 times. I'm just asking what I've already been told. So I find that if I read in my studies, a lot of those questions are answered. And then I ask better questions that I get answers to. So I'm going to leave you with that. Let y'all get out of here a couple minutes early and go home and enjoy your beautiful evening, because I think it's going to be one.